Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Heart of Sports with Jason Springer and Jeff Cohen, powered by ELEC 825. We are thrilled to join you on WWDB 860 AM and 97.5 HD2, part of the Beasley Media Group, ready to help you move into the weekend, talking about all the news in the world of sports. I know you didn't stay up for the game last night, did you, Jeff?
No.
And not even because the Chargers, the team you grew up on, were playing. Like, you had a rooting interest.
Here's the thing. You give me a hard time every Friday about, do I watch Thursday Night Football? You know I don't watch it. The good news this time is it wasn't because I needed to go to bed.
Apparently
I was out.
Apparently, so, you don't watch any night of sports anymore. So I want to talk about...
No, I do. I watch partial nights.
I would like to talk about the Michigan basketball game the other night, Mr. Cohen.
Why? Because they lost?
No.
On a four-point play at the end of the game?
No, and in fairness, I did not join in on the text chain that you are apparently having with a friend. See, 150 text messages back and forth. If I sent you a text chain with 150 text messages, you might cancel the radio show with me.
No, here's the difference. You would send them all at once before I could respond to one of them.
So it was just
discussion. Like, we were actually commenting on each play of the game.
I'm glad you said that it was a discussion. How did that discussion end, Jeff?
It ended one way.
With you falling asleep again?
It might have.
So for our listeners, if you haven't listened, Jeff has like a period where he'll be texting you and then all of a sudden he'll go dark. And it'll be like, did he get busy? Did something happen? And then you look at the time and it's like he fell asleep. So your friend who you were texting with called you out on it because we've talked about it before.
Well, no, there was an exchange going back and forth. And as it got close, you know, towards the end of the game with like 5-6 minutes left, he sent a text and he didn't get a response. And that was unusual. And then I could just read it for you. He said, "You're sleeping right now, aren't you?"
I love how everybody knows you're watching and sleeping habits now because we talk about it on the show. It's too funny. So unfortunately... Well,
there was more if you want to hear the rest of it.
Go ahead.
You're not missing much. It's just a one-point game with a minute and 37 seconds left.
And then you missed a walk-off shot. But my favorite part was you told me you woke up for what?
The post-game press conference
right after he hit the shot.
I'm like, huh? What happened here?
They
were winning the whole game. They looked great.
They were up by 15. They looked really good. I was going to text you and really be good. Like, wow, they look good. And then all of a sudden I'm like, you know what? I am not going to pull the Jeff Mush and text him and say that a team looks good. So I was going to wait till the end of the game, and then all of a sudden it kept getting closer, and I was like, you know what? He's probably having his own anxiety. I'm not going to jump on that train.
Hey, no, it isn't. I'll tell you something. So this is an interesting season for me, if you care.
If you care.
Because Michigan has a new coach. He's very good.
Yes.
He's brought in an entire new team of transfers.
Yes.
For essentially. And he is taking the position, and I believe him, that, hey, these guys haven't played together. Give them the season. Let them make mistakes. I'm not going to take them off the court to win one particular game if it's going to hurt what my long-term goal is to get to March. And he's convinced 2 7-footers that they can play next to each other, even though both of them said, we didn't think this was going to work. And if you watch that game, and you said you watched some of it, those 2 7-footers play really well together.
Yeah, my question in the tourney when they get there is, when you have smaller lineups, can they keep up with the foot speed? But they're very tough, especially if a team's trying to drive. There's nowhere to go around that basket with 2 7-footers there.
Yeah.
And they have a guard.
And they have a guard who's tough too, who's around the basket, even though he's short, and Roddy Gale Jr., which, by the way, a former Ohio State player.
I really didn't want to turn this into a conversation about the Michigan basketball team. I really wanted it just to be about your viewing habits and how you can't stay awake for a game.
Well,
your
friends
call out. Yeah.
It happens.
All right. We should get to, so we got coming up in the show, good get, Jeff. Flyers president of hockey operations, Keith Jones. Nice job.
Always fun.
Talk to Keith in a few minutes. And then our annual Festivus bitching and airing of grievances about sports. I've got a good list this year. And I know
it is amazing that the airing of grievances actually makes me smile.
I know it does. And so the funny thing is, you talked about the 150 text messages back and forth with your other friend. Mm-hmm. Our text chain this week inadvertently became your airing of grievances. You literally You literally just complained about every sports story that came out this week, from
every ridiculous all-star
from
game.
Embiid breaking his face and McCain tearing his meniscus, where I wrote back, "Why can't we have nice things?"
You write that a lot lately.
I feel scarred. I know you're checked out. I keep going back to telling Sean McDonough that my childhood was shaped by his narrative. Because I just feel
it's not like his fault.
No, I didn't say it was his fault. I said it was shaped by his narrative. It's actually Mitch Williams' fault and Joe Carter's fault.
Why is it not Joe Carter's fault?
Well, Joe Carter had the hit. I still remember when we interviewed Pat Borders years ago and we told him the story, and he goes like, "With all due respect, I don't feel bad for you." He like had his World Series ring.
Yeah, exactly.
That was the best.
He didn't care one bit that he broke your heart.
No, not at all. Why don't we talk Flyers for a couple minutes? Because we're going to get into Keith. This is a fun team to watch. We're going to get into what they're doing with the team. But give me your thoughts before we get to the interview.
You said it. They're a fun team. They have work to do. This is only the beginning. But for the first time in a while, you can honestly say that. This is only the beginning, and you have faith that it's going to get better.
I hope so.
Do you have faith?
I do.
So that's all. See, that's what this city and this fan base needs. This is what we haven't had for a long time when it comes to the Flyers. There's good players that come and go. I mean, let's not forget, we were blessed with Claude Giroux for a long time, but they just couldn't get over the hump. And then got bad for quite a while. And now you have them having made decisions that look like good decisions. They have people like the two Travises that are like the rocks of this team.
Why don't we
you have Michkov, who you can't help but text me every time he comes on the ice.
Yes.
That's the way people feel. You have that exciting player, but you need to build around them more with people. Like, what they need, I think even more than a goalie, is they need centers badly. I mean, I texted you something last week that I believe the defensemen had more goals than the centers.
Maybe I can ask Keith about it. Why don't we talk to him?
All right, let's go.
Cool. Let's bring on Flyers president of hockey operations, Keith Jones, talk some hockey. Keith, great to have you back with us. How are you doing today, man?
I'm doing well, and appreciate the time, guys.
It's a fun time. I'll let Jeff ask the hockey questions after I start with a culture question. I saw you a few months back at a Chamber of Commerce event, and you talked about how one of your first jobs was bringing back the culture and the feeling to the organization, both internally and with the fan base. Can you talk about how that's been building it back up and the excitement you're seeing from people?
It's been going well, I believe, in that regard, at least from the feedback I get from the people that I see. I was just at the King of Prussia Mall yesterday doing some shopping, and it was interesting how many people wanted to stop and talk, you know, Flyers hockey and the direction of the club, and most seemed pleased with the way that we were heading. So I think from that standpoint, at least from our fans, I believe that they think we're on the right track, and I give them a lot of credit that they've been patient in this, you know, early part of this process as well, which is great. And then from a team perspective of, you know, the most overused word, culture, it's good. I mean, our guys love each other, and that's what we want. You know, we have a coach that's extremely well respected by the players that play for him because of his balanced outlook and his honesty, and how he manages to keep it level amongst the entire group. And I think they appreciate that. So on both fronts, I think we're off to a pretty decent start.
You know, Keith, I want to focus on that word honesty. Ever since you joined the organization, Danny Parrish was part of the organization, your coach, you all are very transparent. And I think that in a city of the fans that we have, there's an appreciation of that. Because everybody kind of knows what's coming without having to delve too far into it. They trust all of you because of the way you've been transparent. Is that an important thing that you've instilled in the organization?
I don't know that I instilled it, but I believe in it. I just don't think there's any other way to do it, especially when you're asking for people to kind of walk forward with you with, you know, what's a vision for us, but starting to have some of it come to fruition, which is a positive. But it's also, you know, asking your fans to, you know, do something that's not, you know, overly acceptable in some places. And I think our team is, you know, in a position where we're going to get better. And, you know, over time, we're going to get a lot better. And we want to make sure that we include our fans in that journey. And I think people do appreciate that part of it.
You know, you mentioned the relationship with the players and Coach Tortorella. Talk about the closeness that we see in the locker room, likely because of the fairness that he shows in terms of his critiques and his support of those players.
Yeah, I do believe that can bond players together also. I mean, there's not a divide, that's for sure. Everyone's had their moments where they've gone through some, you know, difficult adversity, and I think have grown from that with the support of their teammates at the same time. And I really believe and know from watching and being around the group that they sincerely want each other to do well. And when they win collectively as a group, they celebrate. Individuals may have a great performance on any given night, but the team feels, you know, really good for that player that, let's say, was player of the game. And I think our fans have had some fun looking at some of the, you know, post-game celebrations when our guys rally around one of their teammates that they have determined to be the key guy on that given night. It's pretty cool. And I watch it myself and I get a kick out of it. And sometimes I even laugh out loud with how much these guys, you know, like one each other. And I just think that's really valuable as you try to build and allow these kids to grow up together and eventually compete together for the Stanley Cup.
You know, Keith, I believe the last time we talked to you, you were announcing games. You were a commentator. And somehow you found your way to this role. What about that journey? What about being a commentator helped you prepare you for this role?
It's kind of twofold. One, obviously doing the national games put me in a position to really pay attention to the league. Not just the players, but coaches and managers and, you know, following teams to Stanley Cup championships, you know, watching all the ebbs and flows of their seasons and how difficult it was to, you know, not just make the playoffs, but then ultimately win it all. I think all of that's valuable, which just kind of falls under that, I guess, the headline of experience. So that part, I think, is important. But from a local level, covering the Flyers at the same time and also doing morning radio in Philadelphia, you know, you get a pretty solid understanding of what the fan base is all about. You know the fan base and they know you. And, you know, many conversations, and fortunately I enjoy talking to people. It's something that comes natural to me, and I've always enjoyed, you know, discussing the Flyers as both, you know, as a commentator, as a fan myself, as a former player. And I think all of those things have really helped me in that regard. And knowing the team, like knowing your own team, because I followed it so closely, you know, covering the games and paying attention to each individual player, I think that has been something that's really come in handy as well. And also having relationships with those players before I moved into my position. So all in all, I think it was in many cases a seamless transition in that regard.
When did you know this was something you wanted to do?
Well, the day I was asked if it would be something I was interested in. Because I was not thinking about it, I can tell you that. That's one thing I've always taken, I don't know if pride's the right word, but I've always been dedicated to doing the job that I'm being asked to do and not trying to, you know, do someone else's job that's already doing that. So, and it's really something I want throughout our organization. I just want people to be happy in the place that they're in and organically move up the ladder, not trying, you know, to actively move up and want more all the time, but just to be satisfied in the job that they're doing. And then when those opportunities come, they'll be well-rounded and ready to take the next step. And I encourage people to move forward, but at the same time, I just want them to wait their turn.
Well, it certainly seems like you're enjoying it. And for fans who were dying to see a better product on the ice, I mean, we talk about some of the foundational players with Travis Sanheim and Travis Konecny. Talk about what you're seeing from these guys that are sort of the foundation of your organization and their development.
Yeah, I feel pretty lucky to have both of those guys and both under a contract long term. That is something that's extremely important. I think, you know, if you watch, you know, teams that have been in long rebuilds, in many cases, they're not, you know, keeping their homegrown talent past a certain age. In many cases, they've sold off those players for, you know, younger assets. But boy, it takes a long time to come back from that. So I feel pretty fortunate that we have both Travises. I'm really thrilled that they're getting, you know, some international recognition as being world-class players. That's pretty cool, but it's well-earned by both players. And I love the fact that they're the best of friends, but also that they lead by example for the rest of our team. So that's going to help us with our younger core players that are, you know, anywhere from a couple of years to 5 to 7 years younger than both of those guys. It gives them people that they can look up to and strive to be like, but also have the, you know, insulation of having those type of players around to allow them to grow and eventually take prime time roles on the team.
You know, Keith, the model that you seem to be going for, and I don't know if it's on purpose, is I think the model kind of what the Phillies did a few years ago is where they had this core of veterans who kind of could get people through it and then bringing up the young guys. How do you control the enthusiasm of the younger people that are on the team? Is it through this group of veterans, or is there some other way that you kind of make the enthusiasm go in the right direction?
The veterans matter a lot. There's no doubt. And then the leadership of your head coach and his coaching staff also becomes critically important. And the fact that players recognize that there's mutual respect from, you know, the top with Dan Hilferty, to myself, to Danny, to Torts. I mean, it's a well-connected group, you know, both from the hockey side and the business side, where, you know, having leadership like Dan Hilferty provides really puts us in a position, I think, to be successful down the road because of a lot of the principles that he believes in too. So I really just think it's collectively an organizational type thing, but those younger players are, you know, learning what it's like to be a part of a team, but also the fans are really getting to know them at the same time. They're not just arriving from elsewhere and taking 3 years to kind of figure out who they are. They're a fun group, and I love the fact that they let our fans have an inside peek into some of the things that make them tick. One thing I think the Phillies did extremely well was when they had the money to spend, they spend it, and they added those pieces and including Bryce Harper. And when Harper came over, it wasn't immediate that you looked and all of a sudden the stadium was packed. It wasn't. The fans are kind of like, okay, show us where this is going. And eventually some of the younger players developed into outstanding ball players and, you know, members of the community. And then a few more pieces were added. And all of a sudden you have a team that's making the playoffs, selling out, you know, the stadium, the ballpark, and then has continued to be a really fun team to follow that I think the community feels like they know. So that's, I think that part of that model really could work for us. And, you know, in a couple of years when we have money to spend, we'll be out looking for those, you know, those type of players to add to the mix, like some of the ones that the Phillies brought in.
All right. Is this the longest anybody's gone without mentioning Michkov?
Yeah, it is. It is. That's great.
So how much fun has it been for you?
It's awesome. You know, it really is. It's something you can always, you know, look forward to, some of the creative plays that he makes, the attitude that he brings, and always keeping in mind his age, you know, just that we're just touching the surface of what he's going to be. And I think that's really exciting for us and our fan base. And I love the way people have embraced him, made him feel comfortable here, and gone out of their way to kind of support him through the number of jerseys that have been bought that have the 39 and the Michkov name on the back, to the way they cheer him on when he's playing too. It's been a really cool reaction from our fans, and really solid performances from him as he just gets his career started here in Philadelphia.
You ever try that Michigan shot yourself, or does that make you?
I could never. I couldn't do that, to flip the puck to the referee. So some of the things he does, I honestly just shake my head. From the first time he stepped on our ice here at home, you know, I had a pretty, you know, solid idea of everything that he was about, but he has exceeded expectations.
So let's talk longer term. You've been, again, we've talked about the transparency. You've been honest. You're going to be sellers, not buyers at the deadline. How do you set yourself up both in the short term now and the long term to get Michkov a center and a kind of upgrade that position and some of the other talent on the team to get you where you want to go to then spend that money?
Yeah, there's a couple of ways. One is through the draft. And, you know, we have 6 picks in the first 2 rounds next year. So obviously it's a big draft for us. It's a pretty deep draft from the way it's kind of sorting itself out right now. The top has probably about 7 or 8 players that may be interchangeable by the end of it. There's no, you know, Macklin Celebrini in the mix this year, but there's a lot of really good players that are going to have major, you know, effects on the teams that are able to draft them. And then after that, it's a pretty deep draft from, let's say, 15 to 50, where you're going to get NHL players, and you're going to get players that are going to be, you know, contributing in some cases to the top 6 forwards on your club. So that's exciting. The draft is certainly a way to do it. And obviously drafting Jet Luchenko last year and Berglund last year and Ruohonen last year, obviously we're emphasizing that center position. And then it's going to be, you know, through the free agent market or through trades, you know, we're going to have to be creative and we're going to have a little luck. So that's kind of the way we look at it.
No, Keith, you are a former Western Michigan Bronco. In a day when coming out of college wasn't as common as it is now, what is it about college hockey that has made it a better grooming ground for the NHL?
Well, it's more commonly used. And, you know, when I was in school and I'd go to Western Michigan, I went because I wasn't good enough to make it in junior A hockey. I wasn't at that time, you know, drafted to the OHL. It was an option that presented itself to me. It was not necessarily something that I was looking to do. Now it's an option for kids to go there. They have a lot more control of their own, you know, destiny or fate because of some of the powers that they've been given. When I played, the team that drafted you owned you for your 4 years, and it was up to them if they wanted to sign you or not after your 4 seasons were complete. Now, if you know a player wants to stay for 4 years, he can have the flexibility to become a free agent if so he chooses. So there's reasons for kids to go there that didn't necessarily or weren't options when I went back in the day. So I do think there's some differences in that regard, but there's definitely a lot of balance to college hockey, and there's a lot of really good players that are playing. And in many cases, they're older players. You know, there's some teams that have some 23 and 24 year old kids. So it's a real challenge. And when you see somebody like Celebrini win the Hobey Baker as a 17 year old, it opens your eyes and tells you just how advanced he is as a player.
One guy that's a free agent at the end of the season, but the team just seems to play different when he's out on the ice. Talk about Cam York and his long-term prospects with the team.
Yeah, no, Cam York's a very important player for us. It was too bad he got banged up this year. I think he missed maybe 13 games or so. He's a cerebral player. He's a brave player, you know, block shots and does a terrific job in angling defensively and going up against the top lines on the opposition. He's a restricted free agent at the end of this year. So he's definitely somebody that we want to, you know, keep in the fold for a long time. He's proven to be a valuable asset for us, and we're excited about his future here in Philadelphia.
The Phillies are all about the future. If you could pick one player that we don't know about yet that you're excited about, who's in the minors or who's playing in junior hockey, that's part of the Flyers organization, who would it be?
Ooh,
I think there's a good one in Alex Bump that's at Western Michigan. He's going to take him some time. He's a fifth round pick. But he is a very gifted scorer. He's very good in the offensive zone. He provides something that we're looking for. He's good at separating along the wall and doing some really good things and creating offense from the blue line in and down in the corners. So I believe he's going to have a bright future for us. There's some easy choices. Obviously, Luchenko is one. Oliver Bonk is another. Those ones obviously stand out to me. But there is a guy like Bump who's someone that I'm really looking forward to see once his, college season ends, and he has the option to go back to school one more year if he wanted to also. But I'd like to see him, start working his way into the pro game as well.
Well, we can't wait to see these young guys develop. Looking forward to seeing what moves you make as the team goes forward. And always appreciate you giving us some time to talk about it. Keith Jones, thanks for joining us, man.
Thank you very much, guys. Have a great day. Take care.
Take it easy. I love that the first time we talked to Keith, he was calling the games, and now he's making sure who's on the ice during the games. Always fun to catch up with him, man.
Yeah.
Well, that was profound. Way to say something good there about our interview. That's well, it.
You know what? I'm like on to the next topic. Like Keith is, he's so good. Like there's nothing I can say afterwards. He was doing our job before.
Yes. Like,
and he was, by the way, much better
at our job than we are.
I'll only speak for myself. How's that? But, you know, you complain about stuff, and this is like the perfect show for you.
Yes.
Like you texted me, like you were complaining about the Flyers game. And it wasn't about the game that you were complaining. So why don't you get your complaint out? And this could be the start of your... All right. Airing of grievances.
We will start to air our grievances for Festivus. Mm-hmm. So we do this every year. We come up with what are our biggest sports complaints. So here's one for you. I can't figure out where to watch anything. I went to watch the Flyers game last night. Now,
which is amazing considering how many screens you have on.
Well, it's not about how many screens you have. It's how many places it could be. So this game was on ESPN Plus, Hulu, and Disney Plus. Not NBC Sports Philly.
And considering the amount of Disney Channel you watch, how is it that you couldn't find that?
Because my recommendations for shows are Bluey and Moana, not the Flyers. I have a 4 and 7 year old. Now, ironically, when we did watch, it was on there that I could have seen that it was on there. But my Festivus complaint is I can't figure out where the hell to watch anything. There's games on ABC, CBS, NBC, NBC, Philly, ESPN, ESPN2, True TV, TBS. You know where True TV is now. TNT, USA, Amazon, Netflix, ESPN Plus, Max, Disney Plus, Hulu, and more. All to watch games. Just make it simple. Wait. Go back to cable where I can go through the channels. Let me pick my streaming.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Because I go through this every March Madness.
Yes.
I still don't know where True TV is. How do you know where it is?
Because they actually put NBA and NHL games on it during the season now. They don't just wait till college basketball season.
Oh, well, then
that
doesn't help me.
Well, no, it's the one you wouldn't watch. It's like the alternate commentary where they have like the additional statistics and they talk gambling. I don't really care about gambling talk, but I like the stats that they talk. All right, it's your turn. Happening. It's your turn for a bitch. Go ahead.
Well, no, I just wanted.
Or do you just want to let me go through my list?
No, I want to go through your little complaint a little more because you're right about it. But it's about to get worse.
Like, yes.
The thing is, you're complaining this week. Next week, you have two football games on Netflix.
Yes.
Okay. And here's my prediction. It's not going to go well.
You think they'll have buffering issues?
Well, didn't they have it with the boxing match?
They said they've got it ready.
Okay. Good luck with that. But I don't understand. And before we get off this, since we now have so many stations that we can watch just the NFL on, I'm going to get back onto the NFL instead of the NHL.
Which channel will the All-Star game for the NFL be on, Jeff?
No. We can get that in a second. There are not enough good games to have on two stations But we now need to have it. How many days next week did you say there's going to be NFL football?
9 days, I believe. If I go through
out of
it. So it starts last night in, out of the next 12-day stretch, in addition to regular season games, there'll be 13 standalone national TV broadcasts featuring 20 of the 32 NFL teams. Over a 12-day stretch, they'll play 9 different days.
Okay. All right, you can stop there. We don't need more of that statistic. That's enough for me to say enough. There aren't how many good games are left? Most of the teams have already made the playoffs, right? And so now it's a little bit about seeding. For the most part, these games are bad. And they are so bad, and we need to have them on every day of the week now. We need to screw the NBA and not give them their Christmas Day anymore. And by the way, for those of us that actually want to see a game,
this is your Festivus gripe.
They can't even tell us which day we should get our jackets and our hand warmers ready for.
So tell us, you're supposed to go to a game.
I'm supposed to go with my family to the Giants game sometime next weekend. I would like to know for certain when that is. But because as they get to the playoff time, they can flex games. If I go on the team's website, that game says TBD.
Yes.
And it is now less than 2 weeks away.
Yes.
At what point do, and this applies to all the leagues except for this particular issue is an NFL issue, do they care about the fans that are dedicated enough to go see a team that has won 2 games this year?
At no point.
None.
You don't factor in.
And by the way, we have spent a lot of time this year giving Mara a hard time, for which he deserves every second of it.
Yes, for the product on the field.
To his credit, when this happened, he was one of the ones that stood up and said, hey, this isn't fair to the fans. And for that, at least, congratulations. Now go get a real coaching.
And now get a real team to have put them on the field. Any more complaints about your flexing, or can we get to your complaint about the All-Star game?
Which All-Star game are we starting with?
Well, let's start with the NFL All-Star game. I mean the game of tug of war and dodgeball and game shows. And flag football.
That, you know what? Put that on Nickelodeon or Disney, please. Like, I don't need to say. Who was watching the NFL All-Star game at this point? And do they call it, or do they still call it the Pro Bowl? Because back in my day, it was called the Pro Bowl. And people actually showed up and played. And they put it in Hawaii, which made it there was an incentive to go.
You dropped
the
back in my day.
Yeah, I did pull it back in my day.
Look at you.
Yes.
Oh, all right. Uh-huh. All right, Grandpa Cohen.
Get off my lawn. We'll be later on in the show. Stay tuned. If you have gotten to a point that nobody is watching and nobody cares, then maybe the answer isn't let's just keep playing around with it and see if we can get a smidgen of our audience back and just say, you know what, let's not insult them. We make enough money. We really don't need to have a dating game type game show where players are asked about other players' habits and things that they like and the colors that they're their favorite colors and things like that. Are we really that desperate?
So my question is...
Well, no, answer, because now...
Are we?
Yes,
of course.
Are we that desperate?
Yes, and, we put more
and
than that on
I
TV.
Am putting you on the spot right now.
I will not watch the game show portion of the Pro Bowl.
Oh, portion. So you will watch the patty cake portion.
I have to be honest. I haven't watched the Pro Bowl in years. It's one of the least... You know how I feel about All-Star games, okay? I like that my guys get honored. I have no desire to ever see them step foot on a court, field, or ice. That they have the chance to hurt themselves when they're not playing for my team.
Well, let me ask you a question. So the NFL went to flag football, right?
Yes.
How many non-contact injuries do you see in the NFL?
I would lose my mind.
Lots, right?
Yes.
Okay, so it can still happen. Granted, nobody's
drilling
you with a
helmet.
But
they went to flag football because they're trying to push flag football as their new thing. Let's be real about why they did it.
Okay, and then what's the dodgeball thing? Did they buy into the dodgeball league too?
I think they just, you know.
And by the way, you throw a dodgeball at the bottom of somebody's legs and their legs come out from it, they can hurt themselves too. You're throwing a ball at someone. Like, it's enough already. Like, I don't need this. This Well, I don't know who, what audience this, I can't even speak at this point. I don't know what
you haven't
audience
calmed down. They at are all going. You have not, yeah, calmed down at all since you sent me this text message the other day. You were fired
I'm not
up.
Going to. I don't understand what, and it's after this. Their game is already the worst game because it's after the season. So, like, to me, the only All-Star game that should be left is the MLB All-Star game. Other than that, I don't need any of this. And what the NBA is now sitting there saying, okay, well, we're going to change it because the NHL changed.
What
it,
are they,
so we're going to have a
four
team
pickup
thing
and rising stars. And I mean, I like it when you just know that there's going to be players on each team. They play a game. And they, and the problem, that's the problem. They don't play a game. It's just, it's not even close to an exhibition. It's like schoolyard ball.
Well, what happened last year was embarrassing.
Yeah. And so, like,
it,
no,
it was just a chucking contest.
And look, and when you've lost me, you need to change. Because you know, yeah, that I will watch ESPN the Ocho Dodgeball and call it a real sport. So if you've lost me, you need to change the format a little bit.
Okay. I did, by the way, I heard that there is a new sport. I'm not even going to repeat the name of it, where people kick other people in a certain portion
so
of their
like
body.
So that like the new version of the slack box thing? That
it appears so. Like, really, we're running out of things. that if this is what we're doing, maybe the drones need to take us all away at this point.
I don't understand, man. I mean, we had TV people on before talk about all the opportunities for TV. But then you see the stuff that makes it on TV, and you're like, oh, my God, what are we doing? All right, can I get to my next bitch?
Go for it.
Nothing sinks.
It's an airing of grievances.
No, I'm bitching.
We don't have our own holiday, nor do we have the number of viewers or listeners that we can start something as great as Festivus.
All right, so I'm grieving. Is that how you prefer it?
No, you're airing.
I'm airing. Yeah. Nothing syncs, okay? So I have
nothing
my phone.
Nothing syncs?
I have my phone, and the push alert on the phone doesn't match up with...
Oh, sync, S-Y-N-C. Yes. I thought syncs. I'm like, I'm pretty sure if you go jump into a lake, you'll sync.
The alert does not match up with the stream, which does not match up with the TV broadcast, which does not match up with the radio broadcast, which does not match up with your version of the broadcast where you're watching. So when I text you about an amazing play, I spoil it 20 seconds before it happened. Or if I see a score alert happen, I can tell the kids, hey, watch this. I hate it. I know the answer is turn off my alerts and whatever. We are in an age of technology. You're telling me you can't sync these things up? MLS has figured it out with Apple, where they put the radio synced with the TV and you can listen to your local broadcast. Yet I get my thing spoiled by 35 alerts before they show it on the TV.
Here's my grievance in response to your grievance. Back in my day, we just listened on the radio or the TV and didn't have 15 different devices going at one time.
Well, when I can't listen to the local broadcast, because this is another grievance I have in the playoffs.
Then just listen
or in
to the
game,
broadcast that they have.
I don't want to.
Okay, well, then it's on you.
Like, you're the one who, Michigan man, complains to me about Tom Brady, the broadcaster, and you're telling me listen to the broadcast. Like, if there are broadcasters,
yeah, but
I don't need to
homer it. Like I'm good. I'll either, if I want to listen to the radio broadcast, I will literally just turn on an old-fashioned radio and listen to the broadcast.
Hey, you kids,
get off my lawn. I'm good with that. You feel the need to have every screen made by humankind on at one time. Yes. And then you wonder why they're all not whizzing, buzzing, and alerting you at the exact same time.
You're damn right. I'm glad you figured this out.
You know what I want to do? I want to be in your house at the time that we have to change the clocks.
Oh, no, you don't. I have a 4 and 7-year-old. You do not want to be at my house when we change the clocks.
Because my guess is you have to have them perfectly synced.
No, No, actually.
I do, too.
Okay. So just because you're projecting on me, I'm too lazy to do it before it happens. So my wife
walks around. So you just wait until the daylight savings time kicks in the next
Absolutely. Time? And then what happens is my wife doesn't want to wait, so she does it earlier. And I think the clocks aren't changed and think everything is wrong by an hour in the house because I didn't change it, but she didn't want to wait. So, yeah, no. Okay. I did.
You know, next week we're going to have a guest on.
Yeah.
Ricky Williams. Who has learned, has mastered, like, relaxation.
I need to find some
You should piece. Consult with him.
Yeah, consult with him, a little bit of the cannabis, finding a little bit of peace.
Well, I wasn't suggesting. I'm just telling you.
All right.
Can we need to find a way to chill
Can we
without
go,
the Netflix part.
Can we air some more?
Yes, we can.
Not,
what would you like to air?
Not everything is the greatest ever or best ever. Things can just be really good without comparing them. Mm-hmm. To everything that happened in the whole lifetime of the sport before. I don't understand the hype.
Who is this?
Just the general hyperbole in calling games and the commentary. Everything has to be a comparison between another era and another player. Just let me
greatest
enjoy,
all time?
Just let me enjoy what I'm watching. Like, why do I have to compare it to the way somebody played at a prior date and time and say, well, this person's better, or this person couldn't do this, or this person couldn't do that? Every circumstance around it is different.
I'm about to do the opposite. I'm not going to air a grievance because I think I'm going to actually be a little peacock right here for you. Okay. I think in
who is this and what did you do with my co-host?
In almost 8 years of doing the show, I think we have resisted the who is the greatest of all time in any sport.
Yes. Please don't ask me that.
Yeah. Like, no. Well, you know, I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
So like I don't need to have that discussion.
But
I'm
like,
good.
But so many people do. There's so many hours taken up by that. And even like everything is a comparison to who somebody else's is, what their style is. Just let them be themselves. Let them have their own style and define it by what it is. Just because it fits into your way of doing it just annoys me.
So who does Michkov remind you of?
I don't know. I've never seen anything.
You just so totally bought into it. I just,
I don't know. Like, I've never seen anything like it. He
what
looks
comparisons
like
can you make, please?
Well, I mean, he's look, when you do that, though, he's got skills of a combination of players. You know, there are
he's
a lot
got
of,
his own skills.
There are a lot of
that,
there are a lot of players with the vision that he has that couldn't pull off the Michigan that he tries from behind the net.
You know, I was just going to bring up that it's very impressive that after all this time, I've brainwashed you to bring up like things like the Michigan play.
You know what's funny? I bring up Michigan in my business meetings with people.
Do you really?
It came up.
I bet you get a lot more business.
It came up yesterday. I learned that somebody else is a Michigan guy. Now he's more committed than you because he has Michigan tattoos. You only get Michigan gear.
Yeah, no, I only put things on that.
So
I can
he's
take off.
Clearly a more committed fan than you. But no, you have tarnished my life in that I now
no I
have
choose
more
to say that I have enhanced your life.
I have more conversations about Michigan sports than I ever thought that I wanted to or needed to in my life. Can I give
all right,
you?
So by the end of the year, you will need to learn the entire fight song.
That's not happening at yep. all. Just the fact that I know you're Go Blue is
see,
enough.
See, I know how much you love hoodies. So yep. if I were to bribe you with a Michigan hoodie,
no, I couldn't do that.
Yes, you could.
No, I wouldn't.
Come
do
on,
that. No.
I'll make you an honorary alumni.
Nah.
If I could pull that off, if I could get you to be an honorary alumni, would you do it?
I don't think so.
I think you would.
They would never have accepted me as an undergrad. Let's just be clear about this. I wasn't that good of a student, Jeff. I was a slow learner and got it later in life.
Here's an interesting question.
Yes.
If I could snap my fingers right now.
Yes.
And would you wish that you went to Michigan so that you could go to all these games, or would you keep your Rutgers?
No, I keep my Rutgers. I'm...
See, and then you know what that proves to me?
What?
You enjoy suffering.
Maybe I just enjoy the journey of life.
Okay, that's suffering.
Okay.
In your case.
Well, speaking of suffering...
Only when it comes to sports, the rest of your life, no.
I did solicit some friends to see if they had any grievances.
Yeah, please finish the sentence.
So my one friend wrote back the Sixers, just everything about them is his grievance.
Is a grievance.
As
the entire team, every
as I head down to the game tonight, to an arena that they no longer want to use and got a vote to go downtown where nobody wants it.
I am so excited for 2031.
I know you can't wait.
You know, the amazing part of this
to not take SEPTA.
Almost everything that they say about pitching this arena is going to turn out not to be correct. You know that, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you're already seeing stories come out about originally this. Oh, this is going to be so good for SEPTA. Now you're finding out that SEPTA's own studies are sitting there saying we might lose money from this.
I'm going to text
because some of the things that they're going to do over the next 7 years matter. Like, they're going to close down a lot of the exits from that train station. Mm-hmm. People will now start commuting because these are commuters that go into those stations.
Yeah.
And they're going to get used to driving.
I'm going to be able to text you. I'm going to send one of those 150 text chains while I'm waiting to leave the parking deck in traffic for my game. I'm going to just be able to send a whole chain furious that I am in gridlock.
And the question will be is whether or not I will get it at the same time on my iPad and my iPhone and whatever electronic device that they invent between now and then.
Well, well played there. Do you have any more grievances? I have more. I'm just, look,
Joel Embiid left it all out on the court again.
That's not nice.
Injuries happen, but this has gotten to be like too much. It's like we should have learned at this point. He's not. How many times have I said to you, he's not bringing you a championship? And every time you tell me, oh, you know, don't say that. Oh, you got to have more faith. At what point do you now say, all right, the process is 100% certain to have not worked?
So I do have those concerns and can say that, but I don't blame him for
this. It's not a concern.
I don't blame him for this though. He was standing there
for the broken nose. You don't blame him, but the other stuff you do.
Like, I don't want to, and he'll get back out there and we'll see how he plays. But I do have concerns. We've talked about
he'll get back out there. Is he going to be working out in the meantime?
He was on the court playing, but that's part of the problem. He has to ramp up. Like, I you know me, I don't want to defend him. I really don't. I don't want to defend the Sixers. I'm frustrated by them. But somebody did say when I asked what is a Festivus airing of grievances, he just said the whole franchise right now. And I thought you might get a kick out of that one. Any more for you? I have one or two more that are baseball. And then I do want to talk college football playoff in the last couple minutes.
I don't know if it's a grievance, but it is something we've discussed with Jamie Moyer and others. There's a big report that's now come out about pitching. And for as little as we even pretend to know about sports, how right were we?
Oh, yeah.
Like, how right? And it's because of the people that we talk to. Is like this max effort all the time is killing arms.
Yeah, it's taking people out of the game. The stars of the game are not able to hold up and be there as stars because of the way they're being utilized. And it doesn't seem like baseball is about to change anything, by the way. Like, they got the report.
The genie's out of the bottle. What do you do?
Yeah. Well, I mean, Jamie had talked about it. You kind of put different limits on things, and you go back to forcing people to be long-term starters as opposed to the opener and the...
Right. But here, the way to solve a problem like this is something that nobody's got the patience for, because the only way to solve this is to start with like 6-year-olds. Like, you have to go back to training a whole generation. So you won't see the results of this. And in order to do that, then you have to convince all the little kids that this is the best thing for their future as they watch people give max effort, throw 102 miles an hour.
You have to convince their parents.
Yeah. Well, that as somebody who coached,
and I know you,
I know exactly what you're talking about, and you're not going to convince the parents, and that's why the genie's out of the bottle, and you can't put it back in. This is going to be a bigger and bigger problem, to the point that you are going to have to short. Some point in our lifetimes, Major League Baseball games will not be 9 innings.
Oh, I'm going to save the tape on that. All right, two more for baseball that I don't like. The Ghost Runner in the 10th, go away. If you wanted it in the 12th because the arms for whatever, but going right to it in the 10th annoys me. You play a whole game, then you get a random runner out there. And this golden at-bat proposal, just please shove it back in the drawer.
Do you think anybody will ever admit to being the person who came up with the idea?
I wouldn't. I wouldn't
know. Like, who thinks this is a good idea? How gimmicky are you? This is game show gimmick. That's what we're at now. It's like, okay, let's find up what a game show that we were watching.
And speaking of game show gimmicks, what about owners who use video games to decide what players they're going to get? Woody Johnson had a bad week, separate from the way the team played on the field.
Well, he's had a bad run as owner of a team.
Apparently, he didn't go after Jerry Jeudy because of his Madden ratings. He and his family are cursing out players in the locker room, to which the organization is apologizing. I just
see, and this is the reason that he should have kept his general manager and a coach, because now all of a sudden, coincidentally, all this stuff is now leaking out.
All the
blame, we don't know where it is, but if you start firing people, they're not going to stay quiet.
We got about 6 minutes left. Can we talk a little college football playoff? Are you excited? Like, I know Michigan's not in it, so
you know,
not...
we discussed this last week.
No, the games are tonight.
See, and here's an airing of grievance for me.
That I don't listen to you.
You don't listen to anything that I say.
We literally
had this discussion last week.
No, last week was a week before the game. The games literally start.
But we still had the discussion
last 3 hours. Are you excited? It's starting.
You asked me that question last week. The answer is no. Did you think all of a sudden in the next 7 days I was going to get excited?
I did think that as it
got
closer.
Do you think I'm going to get excited about Notre Dame versus Indiana? Do you think I'm going to get excited versus the only thing I'm excited for in the Ohio State-Tennessee game?
Is to see Ohio State lose.
But I will, if I can find something that says Tennessee between now and then, I will put it on.
Did you see the tickets there?
I love it.
I sent you that, right?
They screwed this up so bad. They're saying that it's possible. The whole point of this college football playoff was that there was supposed to be home field advantage in these rounds. And apparently Ohio State's going to have about 40% of the stadium being Tennessee fans. It can't get better for Ryan Day. it just can't.
Don't you want him to win enough to stay, though? Like, you don't want him to really get fired, because then they could bring in somebody who's going to actually.
No, and here's another airing of grievance.
He's basically Mike McCarthy for the Cowboys for me. Like, I need him to win enough that he doesn't get fired, so he stays there and keeps them mediocre.
Well, here's another airing of grievance for me. Stupid coaches who say stupid things. So Ryan Day is now saying that the Michigan-Ohio State game's not a big deal. 4 years ago, right before he started losing 4 in a row to Michigan, he made a comment that Michigan should hope that there is a mercy rule, because he's going to hang 100 on Michigan.
How's that working out for him?
In those 4 games, they haven't scored a combined 100 points.
Yeah, not very good.
Yeah.
Very good.
So it's for Ryan Day, the problem isn't just that he doesn't have the John Cooper problem just because he's losing. He's got a bigger problem than John Cooper had, because he doesn't shut up about it. Because everything out of his mouth is arrogant that isn't backed up. And that's the part I think that even Ohio State people are like, who, if you're going to, we're going to go out on a limb. We're going to back you all the time. If you're going to say these things, dude, you can't lose. And you can't lose when Michigan's a 500 team.
What we are seeing, though, we're seeing these bowl games impacted by the portal. You're seeing teams have.
Well, it's not just the portal. It is the portal, but it's also the draft. I mean, players are just not. If it's not a playoff game, players aren't playing. The hard part is what you're talking about, is that players aren't playing who are in the playoff because they want another year of eligibility in a portal. Penn State doesn't have a backup quarterback.
No. And I mean,
Ohio State's missing 7 players that are crucial to their team.
Marshall had to withdraw from their game against Army because they had 23 players from their team that were in the portal and couldn't play. So Louisiana Tech, your favorite situation, a 5-7 team will play Army in a bowl game. So
now Marshall's coach left, right?
They did. He did. Okay. Yeah, he left.
This might be my last airing of grievance because we're running out of time. Coaches who leave a program and take all the players with them. I am all for college athletes being able to move around and do what's best for themselves. I think this should be a restriction. If a coach leaves, you can go to any school you want. You cannot go to the school that coach leaves for.
So prediction for next year. Do we see any changes with this? Like, it's coming to a head.
Yes, but we won't know what they are, and they will be bad.
Wake Forest coach abruptly resigned this week, saying he didn't want to deal with the games. You've got 3 coaches that are giving their salaries back to NIL money now. Court rulings about eligibility in junior college. It just seems like we're really coming to a head with some of this, where something is going to have to change because so much is changing so fast.
How much time do we have left?
2 minutes.
My new airing of grievance. So you bring up a topic that could last an entire show with 2 minutes left.
Wait a second. So you're not going to say anything in those 2 minutes? You're just going to complain about me?
No, I am. I am not going to start something that there should be a health. See, this is why the NCAA got the problem that it's in. It's because they didn't. They weren't. Because
people
thoughtful.
Like me didn't leave yes. time to talk
you
about it.
You should be running the NCAA.
Hey, you know what? Just because you chose not to say something, I get a minute and a half. Let's talk Eagles, Washington, man.
Oh, good Lord.
This is your fault. This is totally your fault.
Let's go back to the Pro Bowl.
Go back to the Pro Bowl?
Yeah.
You're going to leave. Your final thought's going to be on the Pro Bowl? We have a minute.
My final thought is, again, my last grievance is Jason complaining that the Phillies haven't done anything yet.
They haven't.
Say that word.
They haven't. Max Kepler to a one-year deal is not it.
They're not done yet.
Like an outfield of Kepler, Marsh,
again,
Rojas.
So we only have a tiny little bit of time, but I'm going to ask you for a tiny little answer.
I am not
Do you
patient.
Trust Dave Dombrowski?
I do, but I am very impatient.
I know. Well, you in the coming year, I'm not one of these people who likes to do New Year's resolutions.
You're going
to
teach me
yours
patience?
Should be tiny bit more patience.
Yeah, good luck with that. That
with is- the right example. So don't be patient with the Sixers. Whatever patience you have with the Sixers, move it on to other teams.
Oh, okay. So take it from them. Do you want me to be patient with you? Any final thought?
No, you can be as impatient as you want.
That's going to be our final thought. Thanks so much for joining us this week. Make sure to join us next
Happy
Friday
Happy Festivus,
Happy
everyone.
Happy Festivus to help start your weekend in style. Have a great one, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Operating engineers are the men and women that move mountains. And the Engineers Labor Employer Cooperative, ELEC, puts them to work. They create opportunities for the men, women, and union signatory contractors of Local 825, repaving our roads, keeping our homes bright and warm, and even building our favorite team stadium. We understand infrastructure. That's why ELEC and Local 825 are ready to get to work.